Friends, I want to welcome a cousin of mine, Brian O'Dwyer, the lawyer Brian, Grand Marshal of the New York St. Patrick's Day Parade of last year, and he is co-chair of Catholics for Biden campaign. And that is a big deal, as many would know, that the Catholic vote in the United States becomes very significant as we head into the presidential election. Brian, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Adrian. Thank you for having me on.
By the way, that introduction there was written for me by the executive producer here, Anya Sheridan. I would have introduced you another way, but anyway,
I thought it was written by my sister, frankly.
Oh, Eileen.
Yeah.
Oh no, she would have done a better job, really. You know. And anyway, of course, of Bohola stock, Brian. By the way, Bohola, you never had a potential saint come out of there, right? I mean, other than my mother, you know, who knew better and moved down to Attie Mass.
Well, no, but there were two saints out of Attie Mass, you and the good father.
Yeah. Well, now, that sounds so much better coming from you, because honestly, I've been wanting to say that for, you know, decades. And you said it for me, so there you are. You know, you're now much higher esteem than when you came on the phone. Brian, before we get into, you know, your lofty position and the great challenge that you and, you know, ambassadors, everybody, you know, the various groups that indeed, you know, have been summoned to basically to bring out the Catholic vote as we head into the election here on November 3rd, the presidential election. I'd like to start, though, by getting your read on the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the Supreme Court Justice of the United States, who died a week ago. And, you know, perhaps maybe you can then, you know, tell us about the significance of now getting, which we'll hear in a few hours, the dog in the street knows it, but President Donald Trump will nominate Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court. First of all, on Ruth Bader Ginsburg, what was her role and who did she represent primarily in the Supreme Court?
Well, I think it's overblown that she represented women. Of course she represented women. She was a great advocate for women's rights over the course of the years in terms of equal pay, you know, things of that sort. But she was also a great advocate for working men and women, you know, and her votes on any number of issues involving pay and the ability of men and women, working men and women, to have access to the courts for their grievances were well known. She was a leader in that. So I think, you know, I think we do her a disservice. I mean, in terms of just putting her into a into a box like that, you know.
Yeah. Bring us to the talk about chafing at the bit, but President Trump, he didn't waste any time in in selecting who we know, is a Catholic conservative nominee, and that's, as I say, it's going to happen later on in the day. What and how is that going to change, you know, the outcome, the future of the Supreme Court of the United States?
Well, I think, unfortunately, I think this is a flawed nomination from day one, and that's what bothers me more than anything. I mean, you know, we've changed the rules in the middle of the game. The idea, you know, was that a Supreme Court justice who would be, you know, this close to an election has never been chosen by the incumbent, has allowed the people of the United States to make their choice at the polls, you know, 40 days away from now. It has allowed a long consideration of a candidate. I mean, this is the only job in the United States that has a lifetime appointment. So it's probably the most important thing that we do. And yet we're rushing this through with great precipitousness. Whatever her qualifications are, or whatever her position is, or whatever her philosophy is, she comes to this as a very severely flawed and hurt candidate, and the Supreme Court as an institution has been unfortunately politicized in such a way as that forevermore her whatever opinion she has will be viewed within that light. I think it's a farce, and I think it's something that has nothing to do with her or her position or her philosophy. It has to do with the fact that she's being chosen in what is basically an illegitimate way.
Brian, one would have imagined that if that nomination were rushed as it is, the leader of the Western world, Donald Trump, would restrain himself enough to say, we need to get this through, before the election, because this scam of an election that is coming up that is being railroaded by Democrats, we can't trust the mail-in ballots. We can't trust anything, and these Democrats are going to steal the election from me, the great I am. So if we have, a conservative appointed by him in the Supreme Court, that should seal it and let the Democrats go to hell.
Yeah, I think just, I mean, it's done immense harm. This will do immense harm to the Constitution and to the future of our country. Because we have, no matter what, we could have disagreed, and many of us did, on individual issues or rulings by the Supreme Court. But we always, sat there with a sense that the people who we disagreed with had firmly held conscientious beliefs and were very bright people. I mean, Anton Scalia among the others. I mean, here's a man that people violently, Ruth Ginsburg herself, violently disagreed with, but came up with a sense that, that we could respect them and the institutions. Now that's been thrown out the window.
Brian, how will the Supreme Court, and this is a rhetorical question, but I'll throw it at you anyway. Okay, so whatever the reasoning from the president, and for that matter, from the Republicans, who have every reason to be nervous about the upcoming election. As you mentioned, that is a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court, and long after, you know, the outcome of this election will be settled. Now we have somewhat lopsided Supreme Court in the United States, which, of course, and will we ever miss Ruth Bader Ginsburg? But that's going to change just about everything in court decisions, in the law of the land, and that will be forever and a day.
Yeah, no question about it. No question about it. And as I said, I think it's even worse than that. You know, I hate to put, you know, cold water on it, but I think it's even worse than that. I think it's not only will it change law, but it will change our perception of the court, which is one of the few institutions left that we had any sort of, as Americans, had any faith in.
I want to come back to your most recent appointment, your job on hand, at least for the next 40 days, in you and, you know, some very high-profile leaders in the country are, you know, now, you know, being asked to deliver the Catholic vote. You know, for those of us who have no problem whatsoever in taking pot shots at the current administration, won't there be some that say, wait a minute, what are we doing here? And particularly if you're talking about getting the Catholic vote out, how can that be when you're talking about Joe Biden, who, you know, is for many people on the, quote, wrong side of very real issues, like the issue of women's right to choose and others. Can you just tell us about that?
Yeah, I think those of us that have, you know, I think a lot of my co-members of the committee follow what basically Pope Francis has said, which is that there's no one issue that Catholics, people of faith, Catholics of faith, have to vote on, or even a preeminent issue. There is no question that the Joe Biden, who is personally opposed to abortion, does not accept the bishop's teaching on a political issue, which is whether you should vote to ban abortions in this country. I take the same way, that I may be, as a Catholic, opposed to the abortions. I also understand I'm in a country, a pluralistic country of many different faiths, or no faith, and people, sincerely religious people, of different faiths have a very different opinion of that, and I respect them as an American, and would not push my beliefs upon them. And I think that's what this is all about. On the other hand, there are a number of issues where, including the death penalty, immigration, social justice, where the Trump administration is in direct contradiction to the teachings of the Church, and particularly the teachings of Pope Francis. So I think I understand there are some people who think that that's an overriding issue, and I respect that. But the fact of the matter is that the teachings of the Church and the teachings of this Pope in particular are that there are many issues that we vote on, and each Catholic has to examine their conscience and decide which one, which which candidate best represents their faith or belief. And I think clearly it's Joe Biden.
When you have my chat with you is going too smoothly here. When you have your buddy, Cardinal Dolan, deliver the opening prayer for the Trump rollout of his re-election bid, does that send a message, or is that a one-day wonder? Will there be, or have there been a lot of people who says, you know something, if Cardinal Dolan of New York, the most high profile cardinal, you know, in the Western world, should we read something in that? Is that harmful to, what you and your co-chairs are charged with in bringing out the Catholic vote? Would that have any bearing whatsoever on, the necessity to establish that committee right across the United States?
Yeah, I think it was a mistake by, I think it was wrong. I think it was a mistake by Cardinal Dolan to do that. He will tell you, as he has in the past, that delivering an invocation is not an endorsement. He endorses no other candidate. I would say that I understand that, but it certainly seems to be sending a signal. And I think he made a mistake in accepting that invitation. Other cardinals, prelates of the church, have taken different positions. I mean, particularly Cardinal Tobin, who, sits right across the Hudson River here in Newark, just said the other day that all Catholics could have, with good conscience, could vote for Joe Biden. And in fact, he said that he'd have some doubts on the other side. So, I think there are people in the church have different opinions and different things. Cardinal, if you ask Cardinal Dolan right now, did he endorse any particular candidate, he would tell you he didn't. He's not. But he did, clearly, I think he made a mistake in doing there, because it certainly has been interpreted that way.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't say that. That was Brian O'Dwyer, friends.
Well, you know how to put me on the spot, Adrian. I don't know why I ever come on.
I wanted to ask you, as we know what your position is. We know what your co-chairs are, assigned to do. In other circumstances, were it not for the political chaos that is in Washington, that is really on top of COVID and the great number of other issues, record unemployment, all of that kind of stuff, would there be a campaign specifically designed to bring out Catholics for Biden, where this another time?
Well, I think there's always an issue. People of like-minded, like-minded opinions and beliefs like to get together and share those beliefs and make a decision on that. I mean, certainly Catholics for Biden are no different than veterans for Biden or people of that Irish for Biden. It's a question of constituency groups that have specific issues and specific beliefs, getting together and explaining to their friends and relations as to why they're voting that way. And I guess that's the part of it. As the one thing I think we know is that Catholics are one of the true swing votes in the United States, that they have voted for the winner almost every single time, and that they and that they changed their votes based on their perceptions. In other words, you can look at a white evangelical person with a high school education, and you'll know exactly how he's going to vote. On the other hand, you can see a black urban dweller with a college education and know basically exactly how they're going to vote. The difference is that the Catholics are the true swing vote in this constituency. That's why they're so important. And the recent poll taken by EWTN, which is a conservative Catholic organization, finds that Biden is leading among Catholics by an astounding 15 points.
Brian, normally I wouldn't even think of, asking you the next question, but I know that your brother, Dr. Bill O'Dwyer, is up in Albany, and he monitors this program very carefully to make sure that there's, that there is no political battle-ragging and that we stay in the middle of the road. So, on behalf of your brother, let me ask you about the fear-mongering, the in the midst of all of our other problems, the validity of the mail-in ballots. Why and how do a great number of people who are bombarded, with more than their share of, political rhetoric, how damaging is that? Who comes out ahead in this upcoming election? Democrats, Republicans?
Well, I think who comes out ahead in this upcoming election is the COVID virus. There's absolutely, and everybody, commentator, Republican and Democrat, by the way, will tell you that there's absolutely no validity in the fact that that mail-in ballots are any better or any worse than appearing in person. That there's just no chance of fraud there. Again, what this president is doing, and frightfully so, is asking people to show up at the polls with long lines, and at a time when the COVID virus is resurging, when they could vote easily and safely, and with no chance of fraud or anything of that sort. I have my brother Bill in Albany, and I have my brother Rory in Florida, and they're those that they're thinking about whether they should vote in person or by ballot. And any doubt that comes to people like them or others is sowing the seed of a potential resurgence of the virus.
What we all know is, despite whether you're for or against the current administration, and we know that, President Donald Trump gets up in the morning he will throw out some outrageous statements, many cases to counteract the statement of yesterday, which is a hot potato. But I want to ask you, Brian, about the fact that a lot of people now, when you have a president who says, by the way, if you're going to vote by mail, don't trust that one. Go to the polls anyway, and it's hard to get any implication other than to say, this is a total violation of the law. It is, maybe it was meant to thrown out there to confuse a lot of people, but and a lot of voters. But what is the effect of statements like that? And how do you see that as having already affected a great number of people who said, you know, giving people, voters, a reason not to vote? I mean, that's real in presentation, at least, anyway.
Yeah, I think, let me say, first of all, that it's a total miscalculation. The polling over and over and over again shows that people can't wait to vote this time. On both sides, this will be the biggest turnout we've ever had as a nation, because people are fired up. Many for him, but basically many more against him. And I think at this point in time, polling shows that the number of people who are definitely want to come out and vote is astronomical. So people are going to vote, and they're going to vote one way or the other. They're either going to vote safely by absentee ballot, or they're going to stand in line for 4 to 6 hours, subjecting themselves to the elements and to the COVID virus. But they will vote.
Bringing out the, being charged by Joe Biden to actually make sure that the Catholic vote, as I say, it's a swing vote, is indeed very significant, and this is going to weigh heavily on the outcome of the election. Your co-chairs right across this nation here, is there a unified approach to how this is going to happen, or is there a regional way it's not one solution or one attempt per solution fits all? How's the committee going to work?
No, I think that's right. It's not a one solution, because we each come with different. I mean, we're not single issue or single one dimensional people. None of them. Mark Shriver is on there, and of course he's involved with the disability rights and things like that. Kevin O'Malley, former ambassador to Ireland, and myself are also on Irish for Biden, and we've been working with the campaign and thing. And of course, as you know, Biden very swiftly and emphatically came out with an incredible statement to telling the Brits that if they continue to try and abrogate the Good Friday Agreement, that they could kiss any idea of a trade agreement between the United States and Britain goodbye. We understand there are many issues that we stand on. I happen to, and of course immigration is one that I stand on as well.
Yeah, heavy.
But I think each of us comes to it with different experiences and different backgrounds, and this is, part of who we are, but it's not the only thing we are. We are also advocates for immigration, for disability, for Ireland, for other things. So, we will bring those issues as well.
Brian, I will, you will forgive me if I slip in that, Joe Biden has never claimed or mentioned Pohola in any of, his... in his trips to Ireland, but indeed you do know that he's from Ballina, which is actually about 4 miles from Ahimas, and again out the road from St. Father Pat Payton, if we hang in there for a while. But it, not that I should not bowl at all. I mean, it produced some great people. And hopefully, if you play your cards right, you might get on that list. Because right now, you put your foot in it, and I don't think that Cardinal Dolan will be having you in for tea anytime soon. But when I see him, I will tell him that, you know, it was... It had to do with your interview and your job, and it just slipped out.
Well, let me say on the other side, Adrian, yesterday was the meeting of the Ireland West Airport Board, as you know that I'm on, and my fellow...
You're the international chairman.
Yes, and the fellow members of the board are Archbishop Michael Neary and... Father Richard from the Knock Shrine, and I promised them faithfully that within the next 4 years Air Force One would be putting down at the Knock International Airport.
Yeah.
So,
well, and actually it should, because that's you know, it's only a few miles from Joe Biden's home place, you know.
So when he was vice president, of course, the airport welcomed him.
Absolutely.
Looking to welcome him again.
Great. Brian, seriously, I thank you for joining us and also for kind of addressing a number of issues with everything, you know, happening at such a tremendous rate. And again, you know, the very significant, you know, replacement attempt for the U.S. Supreme Court. Again, we'll see how that plays out, but it definitely is not great news for balance in an already shaky United States dealing with everything else. Thanks, Brian.
All the best, Adrian, to you and Lonnie.
Okay, thank you.